Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go, Hour 2, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fans of Football Friday. We got the C-Note coming up at 3:20. We'll give you the very latest on what's been happening around your Cowboys today with the D.C. search. It's time now, though, for Zach Wolchuk and his football fix.
All right, let's get fixed right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
Oh, congratulations to Cowboys former D-line coach Aiden Durdee as he is interviewing for the Browns head coaching job. He's now the Seahawks defensive coordinator, so he's going to get an interview there. Ravens have completed an interview with Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. We were big fans of Clint after his Saints came to AT&T Stadium and just beat the brakes off of our Dallas Cowboys, and then we're just dancing all over the streets of Arlington and Frisco in celebration. And now, look, they might have their quarterback there in Tyler Shuck, so congratulations to New Orleans. But it'd be a good hire there for the Ravens if they wanted to pivot from their defensive mentality. I guess Harbaugh was a special teams coach, but we always think of them as like a defense-first type of team. Clint Kubiak might be a good pairing with one Lamar Jackson. But how about this as we get ready for Wild Card Weekend? 49ers-Eagles. Bob Saleh, who's also getting quite a few interviews for the head coaching gigs, who's asked about Barkley and why he has not had the same success this season. And Saleh just stops. He says, quote, "I'm going to skip that question from a schematic standpoint. I still think he's elite." So just shots fired at that good old OC over there in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Basically Bob Saleh not respecting what the heck he's dialing up.
Or maybe it's the offensive line or, you know, it's a combo of different things. But I understand he doesn't want to put that that bulletin board material out there.
Yeah, I want to keep I'm just going to butter Barkley up as much as I can heading into that game. And Barkley's been doing the same. I mean, he thinks Christian McCaffrey's the best ever. He's been giving him a lot of praise on the other side of this. That's going to be a fun game. Two elite running backs. And I'm taking San Francisco in this one to beat Philly on the road. I think the 49ers are playing good ball. And I don't think the Eagles are. So I'm going to take the Niners to go on the road and get an upset.
After I win this bet tonight, Oregon plus three, one way or another, I'm gonna double or nothing again on the 49ers.
I love it.
5.5? You kidding me? Yeah, that feels too big. What are we doing in Vegas?
Now, playing some Mythbusters here, ESPN's put out myth and why it's a myth for every team in the playoffs. The Eagles, speaking of this game, Barkley is the key to the offense. They say it's a myth. This time last season, Eagles were a juggernaut on their way to the Super Bowl. We know Barkley was awesome. He had over 2,000 rushing yards, but why it's a myth? It's actually Jalen Hurts. While last season's offense seemed to center around Barkley, this year, it's Hurts. He is a great deal more variance to their success on the offense. When he is running the football and when he's throwing the ball well this season, Barkley averaging 91.5 scrimmage yards in Eagles wins. He's averaging 13.9 yards per carry, 4.7 in losses. So when he's run the ball well, they actually have not resulted in wins for the Eagles. More so, it's all about Jalen Hurts and his stat line. Well, if his QBR is high and he's having a good game, they're winning. It doesn't really matter about Barkley's performance.
Yeah, what's happened with Barkley is they stopped running the ball well out of 11 personnel. That's the big thing for them. I think last year they were damn near 7 yards a carry and 11 personnel this time when running the ball. Now I think they're below 4 a carry. So, and you mentioned about Hurts as well, his ability to throw outside the pocket. Mm-hmm. Like he's throwing far more outside the pocket, almost 50% outside. So his ability to kind of get outside and make those throws have been kind of a difference for the Eagles going forward.
How about the Dolphins? They are finalizing a deal to hire Packers vice president of player personnel,
John Eric Sullivan. You send him a little congratulations text? Or?
I can right now if you want me to.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, John Eric, he's a good kid. He is a good. I told you, I was I was a general, his dad, I was a GA for his dad is what I was. So, yeah, John Eric Sullivan. I'm really happy for him.
Okay. Very happy. Yeah, that's very exciting.
So this is going to be an interesting move when it comes to Miami. All right. Because now some of the things that we've heard about the John Harbaugh position is that he would like to select his own general manager. So with Miami going ahead and already now finalizing their GM search, is that, okay, we kind of checked in with Harbaugh and he'd be okay with this guy? Or we just liked him so much we don't care? You're either going to have to take him or leave him, John.
It's more likely they don't believe Harbaugh is seriously considering them. But there is a chance that he's like, if you hire this GM, then it increases your chances significantly. And, you know, we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I would imagine those would be simultaneous announcements.
Yeah, and you had another guy that they were interviewing that was more directly tied to Harbaugh that works for the Chargers now, that worked 10 years with Harbaugh in Baltimore. And everybody was thinking, like, okay, if that's the GM, then it seems like everything's flowing towards Harbaugh. But now you have the big question with it being the Packers guy. Now it's like, is it going to be Hafley, the Packers defensive coordinator?
Could be.
Is it LaFleur? Yeah. If the Packers fizzle out and lose to the Bears tomorrow, and their run comes to an end, would the Packers move on from LaFleur and then they become sort of a package deal there? Like, I don't know. But you're also seeing Mike McCarthy. He's got ties to old John Eric Sullivan with Green Bay.
He does.
So that would sting.
I wouldn't go that one. I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't connect those two?
I wouldn't.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you.
I wouldn't connect those two.
Now, apparently, Troy Aikman was like a huge reason why. Like, him being a part of this GM search committee, like Russini was saying, Troy Aikman is a huge fan of this particular guy, and that he was like the biggest supporter of him throughout the process. And Jeff Darlington of ESPN, he was also talking about just how Troy Aikman told many times how he was incredibly involved, incredibly thoughtful, completely committed to the Dolphins GM search and things like that. But, yeah, so I guess this was the guy that Aikman sort of handpicked.
Well, yeah. He comes from a football – I mean, his dad, like I say, worked for his dad at LSU. I was on the team when his dad was the receivers coach. Stayed on it, was his dad's graduate assistant. I mean, I remember this kid got his start in scouting. Like, he was like a John Snyder guy, low-level guy, and worked his way up. He's got a really, really good eye for talent. It's amazing to see, like, the Elliott Wolf having really great success in New England now. He gets the right coach there. It works out for him. John Eric Sullivan is a really, really smart guy. I mean, that team will be the way that they put together the roster and the players. I mean, it'll be done the right way.
Is his name John Eric, or is Eric his middle name?
John Eric is what
John. It's the hyphenated name.
John Eric. Yeah.
The rare hyphenated first name.
Yeah, no. Coach Carlisle said, hey, thanks, boys. Appreciate all the love.
Oh, you got it, man. Yeah, that's awesome to hear from
you,
him.
Rick.
Yep. 682 says, is there anybody Broadus didn't work for?
Well, I'm 62 years old.
Yeah.
So I've been, it's funny. The guys that I was scouting with or general managers are now coming to the end. They're like, they're going, and maybe I was kind of hanging out with like an Elliott Wolf was 10 years old when I first, started knowing him, and John Eric Sullivan, I was with LSU when he was born.
So when LSU, A&M, NFL Europe, then Packers?
No, actually I went LSU, A&M, NFL Europe, Packers, and then
Eagles,
Eagles, Jacksonville, Cowboys. Yeah, that's what I did.
2 weeks with the Raiders on an internship for
coffee.
I might have stayed. I liked Brian. He was just – he had a family. He had to go.
He kept interrupting me during the interview. And it was just throwing me off.
I needed to talk too much. I needed to get him out of here. Let's go to ESPN Cleveland. Tony Grossi. Now, they do believe they've got a good shot at Harbaugh, too. I think everybody does. Like,
That's laughable.
We mentioned Jackson Dart earlier. He's mouthing Harbaugh or Stefanski. Stefanski's also getting this interview done with the Ravens as well. But here was Tony Grossi, ESPN Cleveland host. These are the demands John Harbaugh wants for his next job.
I talked to a league insider who speculates on what he's heard about Harbaugh's prerequisites to even be interested in your job.
Okay.
Okay. $20 million a year.
Ooh. Not a problem.
Not a problem. $10 million dollar assistant coach budget.
Not a problem.
Okay. Total authority over the roster.
Mm.
And also would like to select his own guy to lean on, personnel guy.
Okay, so would he be making the draft picks? Like, you're going to ask this guy? That kind of makes me feel uneasy. Does he want more say over the roster than what he had in Baltimore?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Ooh.
Which would be a total change in the structure here. I think there are four definite candidates for Harbaugh to end up with. Cleveland now is, I think, fourth.
Okay.
Miami.
The Giants.
Giants and Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta, I guess their GM search is still going. Okay. So now Miami's filled. Atlanta's still open.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. You ready for this one? Belichick, before they made the hire, you know, before they made
Raheem Morris?
Raheem Morris. Yep. Belichick and Arthur Blank were talking about this job. Like, Belichick was, like, he and Arthur were figuring this thing out. And I think what happened there is that Rich McKay is the president, jumped in and convinced him not to do it. So this is, I think, what's going to happen maybe with Atlanta. This is Arthur Blank getting involved again and maybe saying with Harbaugh, and like, sure, yeah, I'm willing, a coach with power and all that. Sure, why not?
Pick who you want at GM. Yeah, we need a guy now.
Yeah.
So, they fired Rich.
Yeah, so since they moved on from Rich, I think Arthur Blank's going to hire the next head coach here with Atlanta. And so if it means spending the money and getting the guy – then and letting him do. I think also, too, Harbaugh might be testing with all these demands. He's seeing if somebody – this is kind of in a way a little bit ridiculous, what he's doing. And I wonder if he's just kind of pricing himself out to see. Like, man, I really don't want to coach much, and I don't want to coach. So he's pricing himself out of it to see if somebody will actually be crazy enough to bite it.
Yeah, because it seems like every opening is like, yeah, we'd hire you. We want you. So let's narrow this thing down.
I think he's trying to price himself out and see if somebody will meet all his demands. Mm. That seems like a lot of things to have to do to be the head coach.
Well, I'm surprised on that list of demands was not, oh, and by the way, Todd Monken's coming over with him, because that's another thing that we've heard.
Monken's now, a Georgia guy, right? Was he on Georgia's staff?
He was. They hired him from Georgia. So Atlanta, that's another connection. So he was on Ryan Ripken's show, and he did take full accountability for everything we've heard regarding his broken relationship with Lamar Jackson. Here was Todd Monken.
You know what? I didn't coach Lamar well enough. I didn't have as good a relationship as I could have. I didn't do the things that we needed this year to win enough games to give ourselves a chance. And I believe that. I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show, and I'm going to fight like hell to fix it. I'm going to fight like hell for the next job I get, and I'm going to root like hell for the Ravens.
Well, I hope he did learn from that, and I hope Lamar ends up getting somebody that he wants, because now all the pressure's going to be on Lamar here. It did, and there was anyway, the pressure was going to be on Lamar Jackson, but clearly they didn't get along. And then we'll see if Todd Monken does go with Harbaugh wherever he lands up. Al Michaels, he's running it back, boys. He's returning for another season on Prime Video. The man who refuses to eat a vegetable, has never eaten a vegetable in his entire life, as he's told us on the pregame show. Andrew Marchand saying that he is returning. Al is a legend. Absolutely a legend. And he was clearly beaten down with bad games. I think this year you had some good games, and you heard a little bit more of a positive Al Michaels, but he clearly is, he's not quite, he's the polar opposite to Gus Johnson. Gus is going to make every play sound like it's the biggest play of your life. Al, the biggest play that he sees, is going to sound like a routine first and 10.
It's crazy, too, because he's an absolute legend, and he used to be, for a long time, one of the best listens in that booth. He was at the top of his game for a long time.
And there's something about him, like, it's nostalgic. Like, I still love listening to him.
It kind of feels like he's picked up a cannabis habit, to be honest with you. Like, he was non-cannabis Al Michaels, and now he's baked and disinterested. But, you know, we know he's just old.
No, Atlanta did fire Rich McKay, 443.
They did.
Yeah.
They absolutely did. Gone. Yeah, Rich is gone.
By the way, whoever has gas right now, it's almost as bad as what I had going on in Christmas.
I can't say that that's me.
I'm actually surprised it's not me because of that barbecue. That
no,
I
no
hammered.
Gas on me.
I do
really,
smell
really
something.
Not. We might have some sort of a gas leak then.
Do you think it's the
brisket?
The meat?
I don't think so, because I smelled that earlier.
I can't believe Medford
smells like perfect
barbecue.
Why didn't
Medford take that meat?
He didn't take the meat. I
said,
don't know.
Medford, the brisket's in there.
I've just been gnawing on it.
I can't smell anything.
I've been gnawing on my meat.
I don't smell anything either, but I do probably, like, I would own that.
I am getting a hint of something.
I usually get ahead of it and apologize.
Like, I probably would have just, like, you would have heard me push it out, you know.
Yeah, and your voice.
I guess it could be me. Whoever smelt it, dealt it. But I don't think I have farted. I don't think I farted recently.
Could it have been like a sneak release?
It could be.
Have you ever farted and not remembered? 877-881-1053.
I mean, we actually took our dog today to get her anal glands cleaned out.
It was getting offensive.
Her ass juice was bad.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than a dog fart.
No, it was terrible. She also, while they put her down, because they had to put her down for anesthesia, because she's, and I don't know if I said that right, but she got the teeth cleaned and the nails cut.
Wow. Would that set you back?
I'm about to say, man.
I don't know. My wife's
seventh job. What time are we doing Love of the Star tomorrow?
She's got insurance. Vet. I was like, I'm not paying for whatever this takes, but I think.
You know, we have pet insurance on our program.
Do we?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that, but she's got that all set up.
Yeah, we got pet, insurance.
This is my dog now by marriage.
And what kind of a dog is it?
She's a golden retriever.
Okay.
She's adorable.
Oh, it looks like we got a little Sham Sharanya.
Ooh, what's he saying?
Anthony Davis has sustained ligament damage in his left hand. Oh. Depending on second opinion and if surgery is required, Davis could miss a number of months.
Yeah, that's season ending. Ligament damage.
Oh, dude,
that's surgery. That's recovery.
Gosh.
That's physical therapy.
You tell me we can't trade him?
Whew. I mean, I would hate to suggest that last night I cursed it by saying the best thing that could happen is him having a season ending injury, but I feel like that was bound to happen at some point in the next couple of weeks anyway.
Man, oh, big news for Carolina. They have just activated their Pro Bowl guard Robert Hunt off of IR. He's going to start against the Rams tomorrow. If you're looking for an upset pick, they just got their guard back.
Right on.
That'll move the line 0.001
points.
What
do you think? We're going to protect our guy, Bryce Young, and he's going to throw all the tutties. I'm also now wavering on this Oregon pick, by the way. I don't know
Why?
If you saw this. They have moved two defensive players to running back. Because they have a shortage of available halfbacks.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
This is nuts. Noah Whittington is legit a game-time decision, so they might not have a lot of runners for this game.
Chuck that thing. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know what to do. I just knew I wanted to get down, right? So
yeah. Let's get down.
I figured, you know, you could lose the game and still win. Like 3 points, it's a fairly healthy number, so that's why I picked Oregon.
Okay, Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
To win the game, you can't.
There is a little bit
game.
Of Mike McDaniel news, by the way. We got the Cowboys DC tracker going live as well, and we'll update you here on the C-Note Cowboys News of the evening coming up next on The Fan.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. It's time for the C-Note. Cowboys News of the Evening, every day 3:20. It's dark out there. It's rainy. This is what it's like living in Seattle for about 10 months of the year, in case you're wondering if you've never been up there. Maybe you've been up there, but it was July or August, and you're like, this is beautiful. This is what it's like in the rest
yourself.
Of the year. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We had the breaking news about 10 minutes ago there, thanks to Wolchuk. He was Johnny on the spot. AD ligament damage, according to Shams, could be out to multiple months. So I think... With that news, with what we had yesterday from Tim McMahon, Kyrie Irving is possibly not going to play at all this year as he recovers from his torn ACL. I would say Team Tank is coming along nicely. And now you got to look at that post-All-Star break portion of your schedule and start looking at the veterans who are quality. Like, does Max Christie need an extended vacation? PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. You know, you get those veterans. What you do is you go young. You know,
we need to
see what Brandon Williams can do with 35 minutes a night over a sustained 20-25 game stretch, you know, something like that. And then maybe play D'Angelo Russell 40 minutes a night. That'd be another big tank move. But I think this is coming along nicely. I mean, unfortunate that AD got hurt and the trade value is probably gone now. You're probably looking at the offseason for your next opportunity to trade Anthony Davis. But you weren't going to get much for him now anyway.
And this might actually help tanking more, because whatever you got back for Anthony Davis could have helped you theoretically win games. Mavs fans, I mean, I hate to try to make a positive out of negative like this for AD's sake, but that's all I got for you.
Yeah, and I honestly appreciate it, because it just sucks. It delays the thing that we want the most, which is just to fully be able to reset here.
Yeah.
Now, I guess perhaps you get your real decision maker, whoever that's going to be from a GM standpoint, at the end of the season and let him kind of take the reins on how this is all going to go. But it just delays everything, and it's so annoying, dude.
It is, and I feel like they have to trade him before he plays again, because that is the perfect poetic picture to end his Mavs career. Like, there's no reason you should break your hand in that situation. And not only was it a broken hand, I mean, like a broken jammed pinky or something like that, that would make a little bit of sense. But this is like a serious injury, ligament damage. It's the most fitting way for this stretch to end. Packers wide receiver Dontavian Wicks' concussion has been downgraded to out for tomorrow's game against the Bears. They have managed to get healthy at wide receiver. Of course, the tight end injury with Tucker Kraft. That was, mid-season or so. He's not coming back, but everybody else is healthy now for them with Dobbs and Reed and Christian Watson. Hey, Gavin, with all this rain, are the drivers any better in Seattle? Well, they make the roads different, so they grip when wet. They're textured a lot different, and you got, like, specialized tires for different parts of the country that handle rain better.
I got ribbed roads out there.
I would say, drivers are a push. They do have, like, ribbed roads or, like, I don't know. There's almost like a layer of gravel that almost sits on top of them just to create that texture so you're not slipping around as much when you do get rain and ice. Tom Pelissero, Mike McDaniel scheduled to interview for the Titans head coaching job. That's next Wednesday. Been significant interest in McDaniel since Miami fired him. I would love that. I mean, just AFC for me, is it Ravens? Is it Titans? Just don't give me like Harbaugh McDaniel with the New York Giants. That's all I'm looking to track with this story.
Yeah, I mean, that is the good thing with him getting head coach interviews. And it's like, how quickly are these teams trying to lock in their coordinators? And they might just miss the boat on, if they don't have the patience to wait it out. Like, hey, we want to go get our guy to lock in, whoever that is. And Mike McDaniel's doing head coach interviews. Even if he doesn't get those, it just delays, because why would he take an OC job when he's still getting head coaching looks?
Yeah, yeah. And if I'm Tennessee, I don't know if I've heard a better idea than Mike McDaniel right now. I haven't. I mean, they're interviewing Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, Nagy's one of the guys they've interviewed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're interviewing pretty much everybody under the sun, it sounds
yeah,
like.
I mean,
none of them sound great.
If he can get that level of play out of Tua, who is extremely limited.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just thinking right now, like, you're kind of thinking about the team, of course, but you're also thinking, like, who can really help Cam Ward go to the next level? A guy like that, if he was able to have one of the best offenses in the league for, like, a two-year stretch with one of the most limited starting quarterbacks in all of football in Tua, then he's probably licking his chops at the idea of Cam Ward, who's... I mean, he's a number one overall pick talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you just got to get a line for him and some weapons.
Right,
You got quite a bit of team building to do, but that era, I think, would be pointing up. Jeff Darlington on Cowboys Twitter, quick note on Troy Aikman. I've been told many times now he was incredibly involved and incredibly thoughtful and completely committed to the Dolphins GM search. I hope he stays at ESPN forever, but if he does something else, man, the Cowboys should just put him in charge. So there is a robust conversation going on in Cowboys social media right now of why they wouldn't do it. I just feel like Troy has been so outspoken against the Cowboys that he would not fit the loyalty trust tree component that Jerry Jones so desperately requires.
Well, he clearly just doesn't have respect for Jerry when it comes to, like, him as a personnel guy. I mean, that was very evident by the Netflix doc at the end there, where he's just talking about, like, yeah, I didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and Jerry was the guy in charge, and he decided, I'm out. I'm done with this.
Morning News has a Cowboys DC tracker up, and you can find that at sportsdaydfw.com, obviously. Jim Leonard is the first guy on their list, and his interview is scheduled for tomorrow. The former defensive back in the NFL, spent a long time as an assistant in the NFL and as a DC with the Wisconsin Badgers, but his interview is tomorrow, so if you're looking for an update on that, you might have to wait 24, 48 hours or so. The Zoom interview are halfway done with Durante Jones and Ephraim Banda, the assistants from the Minnesota Vikings and Cleveland Browns, the Jeff Ulbrich story that we updated for you later in last night's show. The Atlanta Falcons have denied the request. Would you wait to see who the head coach is hired? Like, are you so hot on Ulbrich or were interested enough in Ulbrich that you'll wait to see Atlanta's process play out before you make a decision? Or are you moving on from that?
I wouldn't wait. I mean, if you can get Leonard and Vance Joseph finds out, like, hey, I'm not taking a head coaching job, I would just go with the Jim Leonard hire. I've seen the pushback, and you know, I was listening this morning to RJ, and I understand, like, do you want to – if Leonard has success, to me, he's a guy that's going to get looks as a head coach. So are you hiring him and you're just going to lose him in 2 or 3 years if he is good like you did with Dan Quinn? I don't have that fear. If he ends up landing a head coaching job, it's because he was able to totally remake this defense, and we've seen it now. With the way the offense can play, you've now put yourself in a position where you should be one of the best teams in the conference, and you should be back in the playoffs, and let's see what you can do. So I to me, that's a great problem to have if you're the Cowboys, because it means that he's done a good job. I don't have that fear. I don't really care. Things change so fast in the NFL. Who knows in 3 years from now if Brian Schottenheimer is going to still be your head coach?
Yeah.
And who knows about Dak Prescott and how long he's going to be able physically to keep up the play he's doing? So I don't, like, I get it. Like, the idea of Jim Schwartz, I'd love that. But I'm not going to go get a Raheem Morris or wait around on an Ulbrich or one of these other guys that I don't think is going to be a head coach just because I don't want to end up having to get another defensive coordinator in a year or two. Yeah. That's not a fear for me.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I think if you're talking about perfect world, you get a guy who's really good and you know you're going to have him Spags or Fangio style for a long time.
Yeah.
But that is not like the ultimate most important thing in regards to all of this. And I think the point about Dak and winning in this window is one of the biggest reasons why. Like, that's that the whole thing from team building, personnel, coaching staff, get the best that you can, even if it's just for ends up being 2 or 3 years.
Agreed.
The other candidates listed by Joseph Hoyt now, a lot of names that we've mentioned already with Flores and Schwartz and Gannon and Morris. Leslie Frazier, Cowboys interviewed him last year for the head coaching job.
Yeah.
He has been the assistant head coach of the Hawks. Mike Pettine, former head coach. He's also in Minnesota working as the Vikings assistant head coach and outside linebackers guy. Corey Undlin. He helped the Texans defense working as the team's defensive passing game coordinator. He's worked in the NFL since 2004, has one full-time season as a DC. That was in Detroit in 2020. And then Aaron Whitecotton gets mentioned as well here. It's the G-Bag Nation on a Football Friday. I had one other thing I wanted to get to here. Cody Alexander did this on Twitter. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but it's NFL end-of-season defensive scheme diversity.
It's fantastic.
Personnel coverage blitz combines all three of, you know, how much diversity did you put into your play calling and your personnel and your blitzing and all that, and gave you a score 1 to 100. And what's fascinating is, I guess the top three teams in this did not make the playoffs. Kansas City, the most versatile, followed by Minnesota, closely behind, and Arizona. They did not make the playoffs. The least versatile teams, the four least versatile teams, Houston, Green Bay, San Francisco, New England, all made the playoffs. And then you have the Cowboys coming in at fifth least versatile or diverse. And then the Eagles with Fangio. Actually, that was a surprise to me that their score was only 29.2. The league leaders coming up there at 99. What do you guys make of this? How do you interpret it? Like, for me, Houston is able to do that because of their personnel.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we don't, if we have great players on all three levels, we can line up and play.
You know, that's the key here to all of this. Like, we can talk about the scheme, and like, coaching does matter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to belittle coaching, but it is all about the players. And Nate said it on Wednesday night while I was driving home, and he was with Bobby on, you know, it's not the Cowboys hour.
Crosstalk.
Cowboys Crosstalk. Thank you so much. It's the players. The players will make a coach look good. If you don't have good players, even the best coaches are not going to be able to run what they want to run. Credit what Dan Quinn did for 3 years here. Because I think you're seeing, yes, you had Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs the height of their powers, but he was doing a lot with a pretty limited talent roster. Because these linebackers, the safeties he was working with trying to find. Jayron Kearse has not played in the league since he left Dallas. So he found ways to get the most. Marquise Bell has not looked like the same player, minus that one season where he's got to play linebacker for Dan Quinn. So DQ clearly is a really good coach, but the players are what matter the most. And if you don't have the personnel and if you don't have talent, you can get Bill Belichick in his prime with the Giants in the 80s. It's not going to matter much.
Yeah, just comes down to how you want to try to get the most out of your resources. We got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking
us? We're going to play a playoff version of True and False. We'll do that.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Next.
Shoot, yeah. Welcome back, Nation. It's a proper Football Friday. Of course, now it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. I appreciate you playing that. And happy birthday this weekend.
I appreciate you, sir.
Happy birthday, sir.
I've never seen this bottle of Corralejo that you purchased. Well, I thank you for this bottle. I've never seen this bottle. It's always the blue bottles.
Awesome.
This looks fancy.
Yeah,
I'm going to hide it.
I actually
keep it forever when it's done, right?
Nobody's getting this one.
It's like decoration.
I reached out to a tequila expert. You're my first tequila expert, and I had a second tequila expert.
I'm just a drunk.
And so this second tequila expert, I told him the kind of the brand I was looking for, and he said this is the one you need to get him then.
Yeah, this is crazy, man. Wow. I've never seen this.
Yeah. So enjoy.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you have a good one. And that's on Sunday, too. Yep. So wish Lucius a happy birthday on Sunday.
How many milliliters is that bad boy?
What is
it? Is that a 750?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
750 mils.
I hope your Sunday's peaceful.
That's what I want it to be.
Just you, a cigar, and your tequila.
Yeah, and some steaks made on the grill.
There you go.
And some NFL playoffs.
Yeah, some playoffs.
That's what I would like. Please.
Gosh, that's the dream,
that's
bro.
That's what I want.
That's a birthday right there.
Where they're trying to set me up to do all types of things. Let's go out here to the steakhouse, and then we'll go in and this. I was like, no, see, you guys do that for your birthdays.
Yeah.
And I'll go along with it.
Yeah.
We're chilling.
Just leave my ass alone. Yeah. Well, good. I hope you get your wish.
Thanks, sir.
All right, playoff true or false. I'm going to read you a statement about these playoff teams.
Okay.
And I'm trying to take a statement from each game. And you tell me, and I'm going to put it in a way of, I'm going to give you the ranking of what this team is at this particular
metric. All right.
And you tell me if this is true or false from what you know about this football team. All right, ready?
Ready.
True or false? I'll start with you on this one, Dawson.
Sure.
San Francisco's passing attack against the blitz is ranked 23rd in the league.
Okay.
San Francisco's passing attack, when they face a blitz, is only ranked 23rd in the league.
I'm marking A for true.
True on that one. Wolchuk?
I'm going to go the opposite and just say false, because I think I saw somewhere Purdy had been pretty good against the blitz, but I could be totally off on this.
Saying false.
I don't have a lot of confidence.
You're leaking confidence on
leaking
this
confidence.
One.
We're going false.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Yeah, I will also go false. I will go false just because I think the Niners are kind of like carried by their offense.
Actually, that's true. Dawson was right.
There you go.
49ers are ranked 23rd when facing the blitz. Why do I always feel like that San Francisco handles the blitz throwing the ball better than anybody else?
Yeah. You know what? Like, when you say 23rd, is that in, like, yards per completion?
Yeah.
Or is that
they're way down. They're down the list. Like, it's not good.
Right.
They're not number
one.
Yeah. They're not number one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that he's just lost his weapons. You know,
I think the run after catch and stuff like that, I think that's another thing that's hurting this team. How about this one, Wooly? Philadelphia's deep passing game, their offense, is ranked 7th in the league.
Wow. That would be very surprising if it were true, because that's been the complaint. But I think some of that is they just haven't done it enough.
Here
so when they do, I think they have been pretty effective. Like, I've seen Devontae Smith make some crazy plays down the field. So I'm actually going to lean true. I'm going to go counter to the thinking of their offense is bad, so that can't be. Give me the true on this.
How about you there, Chieftain? Philadelphia's deep passing game, seventh best in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see it from maybe a success rate standpoint being good. Like, when they do it, they find success with it. I don't know. I guess I'll just go true here as well.
Dawson.
I think it's true, but I'm going to actually say false just because I want to run away and hide in this competition. I'm going for a 2-0 lead against the boys right here. Get the rare dub. So I'm taking a chance here, Brian. False.
It's actually true.
Oh, thank goodness.
Philadelphia's deep passing game is the seventh best in the National Football League.
We're all knotted up. Is that a success rate stat?
Yeah, that's a success rate.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Makes sense. Like EPA, I'm sure they're not rocking, right?
Yeah.
But from success rate, like they should do it more. Throw it up to A.J. Brown. Not a bad idea.
Dawson.
Yeah.
Carolina Panthers rushing game in the red zone is only the 30th best in the league. They're near the bottom. Carolina's pass rushing game in the red zone is ranked 30th.
I'll buy it. Yeah, I'll buy it. It's been a good run game, but I think I remember, you know, he had that problem last year, Rico did. And I think we talked about maybe their red zone inefficiencies going into that game in week 5 or whatever that was. So I'll buy it.
True.
How about you there, Wooly? Carolina's rushing game in the red zone's only ranked 30th.
I think Stink alluded to this as well when we had him on, because he's been basically the voice of the Panthers.
He has been for like seven weeks.
Yeah, Fox games. I think they have had red zone issues.
Running the ball?
Yeah, running the football. I think we've seen Tet McMillan get some red zone action. I'll go true on this one as well.
How about you there, Chieftain?
I'll be the odd man out. Give me a fart.
Saying false on that?
Yeah.
It's actually true.
Damn.
You would think with Carolina, though, that with the way they have run the ball overall, that they wouldn't have problems in the red zone. That's hard to believe. I mean, I could see them being mid-pack, but not 30th. That's
yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense because they are not an actual playoff team. Like, we're talking about them in the playoffs, but they're not really a playoff team.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they would suck in probably a multitude of categories.
It's a different game down there.
Different game. Wooly.
Yep.
The Los Angeles Rams, they are first in the National Football League when it comes to play-action passing.
Like how often they do it or how successful they are at it?
How successful they are at it.
I'd say that's true. I mean, look, Kyren Williams is awesome. I would think McVay is a play-action guy. So I'm going to go true. I think that Matthew Stafford, MVP-type season, it's a lot of it's due to play-action pass success.
Dawson.
I'm going to say false. I think it's the Colts.
Eric.
I will go true here as well. I mean, they've done a lot more under center this year. They're getting heavy personnel. I think their play action usage is probably pretty up there.
They are number one.
Bang.
They are
we
number
going
one.
All trues here, boys?
We'll see. You never know. You never know.
No, I think from Broadus' side, the answers, I think it's a lot of Mark A for
Mark,
true
Mark
under
a?
Scantron.
You never
true.
Know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Here did you guys have Scantrons ball. In school?
Yeah, we had
Scantrons. Oh, yeah, Scantrons. Yeah.
Are they not using Scantrons anymore?
I don't think they
surprised.
Are.
It's a lot of digital testing, I think.
I can't imagine taking a test without a Scantron.
I know.
That's nuts.
Wooly. Oh, actually, this would be Chief.
Here we go.
Chicago's offense. Rushing efficiency, third best in the league.
Rushing efficiency, Chicago, third best.
You looking these things
league.
Up while we're playing?
No.
Hell yeah, he is.
He's over there scrolling around.
He's smart as hell for doing
I'm just like, I'm just like doing weird things while I'm thinking about the question.
Okay.
Third in the league?
Third in the league when it comes to rushing efficiency.
I'll say fart.
Dawson?
I'm going to say fart as well because Chief just called you out for having all trues. Man, would you do that, though? I'm trying to get inside your head.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? DeAndre Swift? Is he that good?
It's Swift and Manungai. I mean, Manungai's been pretty good.
That's Manungai, false. That bowling ball from Rutgers. They should have taken him over freaking Blue. The hell are they doing? I'm going to say false as well.
Dawson, did you say true or false, by the way?
I said false.
False. That's actually true.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
Threw me off the scent.
That's true. Green Bay Packers.
False.
Wooly?
I don't even need it. It's false.
Okay. Green Bay Packers, quick game. The quick game passing efficiency, second in the National Football League.
Quick game, second. I'm going to say that this is false. It's hard to judge their passing attack, honestly, because they've had so many injuries. I think with Tucker Kraft, it was. I think without him, it's probably dropped off. So I'm going to say false.
Dawson?
I'm going to say true.
Chief?
Yeah, I'll go true as well.
That's true. Second best when it comes to quick game. By the way, I think the Miami guys, the pass rush,
yeah.
I think that quick game was tough on them last night for those two guys.
It definitely was.
Rushing the passer.
I mean, they had one sack in the game.
And their secondary being compromised. Yeah. That hurt them too.
But Payne still had six pressures.
He did.
He had a play where he lined up over the center and just totally undressed him in like a Micah Parsons style.
Gotcha. Chief, I'll go back to you on this one. Buffalo's defense.
Okay.
Only 29th best in the league when it comes to inside runs. 29th best inside runs defense.
This is the most confident I've been. If this is false, I'm going to be so ticked because that's the thing about Buffalo is stopping the run is not good, and stopping it on the inside I think is really bad.
How about you there, Dawson? 29th best stopping inside runs.
What team's this?
Buffalo.
Wow. No.
What team's this?
False.
Wooly.
I'm going to go true on this.
It's actually true.
Yeah.
They're struggling.
ETN.
Hell yeah.
ETN, big game.
All right, let's go Dawson again.
Bring it.
Jacksonville, defensively, when it comes to pressure, against teams throwing the ball, they're number one.
Wow.
Just rabbit.
I figured I'd heard about I'm going to say false. I'm going to go with Houston.
They've been pressuring.
How about you there, Chief?
Yeah,
Jacksonville's defense, passing versus pressure.
I will say false. I do have a lot of respect for their defense. I don't think they're the best pressuring the quarterback. Like, best in the league?
Pass defense, number one. That's what I'm asking. Are they number one?
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
I'm going to fart on it as well. I'm going to say absolutely not.
It's true. They are number one.
Unbelievable.
So this is true.
It'd be so weird to see them in the Super Bowl, wouldn't it?
It would be.
They got a shot.
They do have a shot.
They are legit.
Last one for you here. New England's offense ranks 27th overall when facing pressure. New England, 27th overall when facing pressure.
Yeah,
I'll say true.
I'm taking the field, going false.
I'll go true.
The final one?
It's a false.
It's false.
It's true.
Yes, let's go.
Every one of these things that I read were absolutely true about the teams in the playoffs for this weekend.
I love it.
You foiled me once again, Broadus.
Yeah, yeah. How about that, though?
You dog, you.
Yeah, how about that? Thank you, boys.
Daddy Tallywacker.
Enjoy the games. Enjoy the games.
Sports PsyOps with Broadus. We got Nick Harris coming up next. Star Telegram, get the latest on the Cowboys DC search and more coming up next, Nation.